Big one. It's a whole lot of things we're gonna see in heaven. There's gonna be some things we've seen down here, but it's not gonna be like it is in heaven though. Just like the rivers and everything, but I tell you what. Oh man, it is wonderful to be a Christian and to be saved by His marvelous grace.
Grace.
God's redemption at Christ's expense. That's what it represents. God's redemption. He redeemed each one of us. Thank God for that. I tell you. But,
just next to.
Yeah. But. Alrighty. Well, let me. If you will, this morning, turn to in First Thessalonians. Well, not in First Thessalonians. What is it? Yeah. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 15. We're gonna look at some things that we ourselves need to realize that for Christians, that's what we need. We need to realize the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us and some things that He wants us to do for Him and He wants us to live by and to trust Him by. But until we get home, we've got a job to do, and we have to do it God's way, because that's the way the Bible set up. That's the way God set His command up, and that's what God has allowed us to be a part of. And I can thank the Lord for that, because, you know, He didn't have to allow me to be a part of anything that He has created or anything that He has made. But I thank the Lord He has done that whosoever will just come to Him and to look to Him for the gift that He has so graciously given each one of us. And, you know, in the right here, it talks about the little foxes. Now, them little foxes is us. I believe it. I believe it's the way God sees us as the little foxes that He has to do His work. But we're having too many of them out here that they're upsetting the Lord. They're upsetting the Christian faith and everything. But, you know, I tell you what, it's just amazing how God works in so many different ways. And yeah, the Song of Solomon. That's one book I don't preach out of that much, but I really need to start because there's a whole lot in here that the Lord's got for us. But evidently not. Evidently not. But I tell you what, I can go to the index. Can I? Huh? What? No. Lucy's eyes ain't working. I know it, but the thing is so ragged, I'm scared to tote it anymore. Things will fall all to pieces, and I can't have that. All right, well, let's see here. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. Chapter 2, and verse 15. Take up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadow flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or a young hart upon the mountain of better. You know, right here, the Book of Solomon is a whole lot. We're speaking right here about the foxes. And it's speaking about the Christians also, the way that we should live, and the things that we must do, and the things that we must not allow to come in our lives that can hinder our testimony for the Lord. We have in chapter 4, we have the bridegroom where speaks. Chapter 5, we have where the bridegroom replies. And we have also the separation of interest in the bride that speaks. And not only that, we have the Book of Solomon is so filled with God's precious love. And we need to recognize that His love is for each one of us, and not just for us. And His love is for every living, every breathing soul that's in this world, in this vast world that we live in, from one continent to the other. But we as people, we need to remember that not only we become a bride, but we become a bride, why? We become a bride of Christ. We are His bride, and He is our bridegroom. Now, you say, well, and I've had people ask me this. See, yeah, I mean, I've heard preachers saying, you talk about, we as Christians, we are God's bride. I said, yeah. He said, how can a male individual be a bride? I thought a male individual was a bridegroom. But you have to look at it the way God looks at it and the way the Lord Jesus looks at it. We are the church. The church is the bride of Christ. But we are the church. I'm not the Christian. I'm the church. I'm the saved, born again believer that is the church. And I make up the part of the body of Christ. And they don't understand all of that. The reason they don't understand it is because the only preaching that they get is some of this junk that I hear. They said the other churches, it's on the TV tube and everything. They don't get the word of God. They will not come to a church where preaches the word of God. Will not preach about just God's love, but also preach about His wrath. And God's wrath, I believe, it speaks more of His wrath in the book than it does about His love. Yes, He loves us. He tells us that in the very first chapter in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. When He says, oh, it says, I created man into our image. Into our image. Who is our image? He said He created man into my image and the Son's image and the Holy Ghost's image. That's the image of God. And He breathed into the nostril of mankind. Now, at that time, it was nothing but man. Female hadn't come on the scene then yet. But Adam had come on the scene. But in the, I think about the third or fourth chapter there, I think it's when the woman come on the scene. When God went and He told Adam, He said, Adam, He said, you look awful sad today. You look mighty pitiful today. You look lonely today. Say, Adam, come on, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on in your life. The reason you're so sad. The reason that you look so unhappy. And it doesn't say, but I believe Adam would come back and say, well, God, I know that you love me. And I know that you're there anytime that I want to talk to you. I know that you'll bless me. Beyond all my blessings, you'll bless me. But you know something, God? There's a time that when I get by myself, and yes, and I do pray, and I thank you for everything that you've done for me in my life. But I'm lonely too at times. Just like you was lonely at times also. That's the reason you created man. To where man could have fellowship with you. And you could have fellowship with them, with man. And I can imagine what Adam would say. He says, God, Father, yes, there's times that I wished I had somebody that I could talk to that could encourage me. And I thank you for encouraging me. I don't know. Can't nobody come to tell me and say, well, that didn't happen. You been to heaven? You asked Adam? You asked God? Have you been there and asked them? It's going to be a whole lot of things that we've questioned God about. But we're going to find out when we get to heaven. We're going to find out the truth when we get to heaven, what it's all about. But right here, it speaks about the fox. It speaks about take us. Take us. Who is us? Me? You? Whosoever will? Take us. The foxes. The little foxes. Other words, he wants us all. He wants the elderly. He wants the old. He wants the middle-aged. He wants the young. He wants the babies. He wants us all to come to him, to where we can take him and he can love us. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. He will take us, and he will lead us to a pasture. Well, in the psalmist David, in the 23rd Psalm, there, when he talks about being in the pasture, when he was down there with the flock, with the sheep, tending to the sheep and everything. And I've talked to individuals that's been to Israel and been over there where David had walked and where David had tended the sheep. And they said that you come to a cliff. And when you come to that cliff, you'll look over that cliff. And you'll look way down. And it looks like just little white spots down there. But you see things moving around. They said, "What? That's the valley. That's the valley of the shadow of David and the shadow of the sheep. That is the valley where David is at. And it's green. It's the green grass, the pasture that David goes to every day, every night, where he can get his rest. But we don't look for that pasture. A whole lot of us don't. We'll look for that place of business that we'll go to and we'll walk around in and we'll say we're getting rest. No, you ain't getting no rest. I mean, since my legs has been in the shape that they're in, I don't do much driving at all. And when I go to the doctor or somewhere like that, I usually get Shelby to take me over to Lowe's and just allow me just to walk around in there if I can walk. If I can't, I'll just get on one of them carts and I'll ride. And she had that, so her and my daughter both asked her, and says, why do you want to go to Lowe's so much? Well, That's where my compassion was. Everything that Lowe's sells, that was my compassion at one time when I was able to do it, was to build furniture, was to remodel things. That was my passion. And some of the things that they got out now, I wished I had them back then. I wish they'd come out with them back then, because it would have made the job a whole lot easier that I was doing. But I'm curious of what's coming out new. I'm curious about what's going to happen at church. I'm curious about what's going to happen, what's going to be said, how the people is going to act in church. I'm curious about tonight. Tonight ain't ever got here yet, but I'm curious about it. Why am I curious about it? Because something is going to happen. I have no idea what it is. But God's word says if we miss his house, if we miss one of his services, then we miss the blessings. And that blessing has gone. That blessing has passed us by because we did not come out. Because we would not come out. I know some people have to work. And I know some people, they're sick, they can't come out. And I know some people are in a nursing home, in a hospital, and they can't come out to church. But that's not what God is speaking about. God's not speaking about them. God is speaking about the ones that are healthy, the one that is able to put one foot in front of the other. God loves us. God loves me. That's the reason he wants me here. If God didn't love me, it wouldn't make no difference if I was in church or not. Or if I was at home, or if I was at Walmart, or I was at Lowe's, or going to Marlin to the races, or wherever. But that's the reason God loves me. God loves me. He shows me his love to where I want to have the love for the church. That's what the problem is today. People today don't love the church. In other words, they don't love themselves. Because there's six of us here this morning. Right? We ain't here this morning to worship God. We ain't here this morning to learn more about his love and his grace and everything he got for us. We're here to learn a little more about him. And I try my best. Sometimes I know that maybe y'all leave and y'all say, "Oh man, I don't know what the preacher was even preaching about." I mean, great day in the morning. He lost me in the first 5 minutes. I mean, he lost me. Well, hey, don't feel bad. I lost my own self. If I lose you, then I've lost my own self too. But if we, six people at Faith Baptist Church that's in here behind these doors, and behind these walls, once we go out that door, and before we even lock that door, it's just a building. It's not a church no more. It's not Faith Baptist Church. You know where Faith Baptist Church lies in? Within me and within you. You're Faith Baptist Church. I'm Faith Baptist Church. We are Faith Baptist Church, and we need to live by faith, and we do. I mean, I tell you, some things God has done for this church since I've been here, it just blows my mind.
And I don't have much of a mind to blow.
But it does. Because what God has done and what God is doing. You know, about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, or four, might be, had a missionary here. I didn't get to make it that day. But I understand that everybody that was here liked him. Said he was real knowledgeable. But that's not what I'm getting to. What I'm getting to now is myself personally, thank God that there is a pastor in Danville, Virginia that is willing to help out another church that don't have the means to be able to put up somebody that's come a long distance. And that's Daniel Custer. He didn't have to do that for me because they weren't having homecoming. They was having pastors' appreciation day that day. So they won't have services that night. So he didn't have to allow us to use it. He didn't have to, but he did. And he says, and I asked him, I said, do you know any church that may could use them tonight? And if I can't find nobody, I'll just tell them come back. He said, well, I'll tell you what. We're not going to be here tonight. If we was, I'd probably use him tonight. But we won't be here tonight. He says, but what I'm going to do is, I'm going to allow Faith Baptist Church to put the missionary up here Saturday night and Sunday night in our parsonage, where they call the prophet's chamber now. It's the house. I've never been in it, but Bill says it's nice. But you know, he didn't have to do that. And I've called other pastors. I've called other pastors in the area, in Pennsylvania County, in North Carolina, that I knew had a prophet's chamber. And I knew some of them allowed missionaries to come in. But after I called all of them, none of them could use him. They couldn't use him. Some had said, well, we just had a missionary this past week. And I understand that. But Daniel did not have to do that. That's what you call a friend in the Lord. He did not say, well, I gotta go and call somebody. I gotta go call my deacons and I gotta call such and such and see if it's okay with them. See if they think it's going to be okay for the church and everything. No. You know what he done? He said, yeah, you can use it Saturday night and Sunday night. But before you come, I'm going to have the lady that cleans
the how.
The parsonage and the house up. I'm going to have her to go away and clean it. And make sure it's clean. He didn't have to do that. Because I told him, I said, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is just tell me. And me and my wife will go over there. And we'll do what we can do to clean it and to dust it and to vacuum it. Whatever it needs, we'll do it. He says, no. He said, I don't want y'all to do it. He said, we got somebody else that does it about every couple of weeks. But I will make sure that she gets the word. And she'll come over here and she'll clean it. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that because he said, he could have said, well, I don't know. Church day ain't gonna last too long. I ain't got but a few people. Says they ain't gonna last that long. Yeah, he could have said that. You know what we're going to, you know what? We're going to last as long as God wants us here. We cannot move. We cannot leave the church. We cannot go anywhere. We're going to be right here. And I'm praying that we're going to be right here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or during a revival or whatever, when the Lord, when God the Father steps out on the car, steps out, and he says, son, I need your attention now. I need you to listen closely. Because you have been waiting for this. But what I want you to do, I want you to go and step on that cloud. And I want you to go and speak to Michael. I want you to go and speak to him and say, now is the time. You've been wetting your lips too long. Now is the time just to go on and put some air at the end of them lips and blow that trumpet. So we can bring the children home. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Were you talking about going to be a glorious day, a happy day? It's going to be one. I'm going to shout all the way to glory. Because you know why? Because I'm going to see the one that bared my scars there at Calvary. He bared them for me. I won't have no scars. He's going to have his scars. I'm not going to have his scars. Because why? Because I'm going to have the glorified body. I'm going to be perfect. Nothing at all. Nothing at all when I get to heaven is going to resemble me here on earth. They said, well, how are you going to know your loved ones? How are you going to know your wife? Well, tells me in the book, and I think it's in the book of Revelation, and Daniel also, and Ezekiel, that when we get to heaven, I'm not going to know Shelby as my wife. And she's not going to know me as her husband. I'm going to know her as Sister Shelby. She's going to know me as Brother Donnie. We're not going to be no marriages there in heaven. We're going to all be married to one. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. And just think about this. Think about the banquet.
Just think about the banquet we're going to have. After we go to him and we lay down our crowns
and to receive his reward.
Oh, man. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be, like a whole lot of people today put it, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be better than awesome. It's going to be better than any word that we can come up with. Why? Because we're going to be with Jesus. Because I'm going to be with Jesus. Because, see, he's the one that died for me. He's the one that took the crown upon his head. And he's the one that took them spikes in his hands or wrist and in his two bottom feet. And he's the one that took the spear for me. After knowing all of that, why do I want to go out here and worship the worldly crowd I hear? I tell you what. Yes. I once became that little fox. But I grew up. And as that fox grew, I grew with the Word of God. And I've come to find out something about the one that I was walking with. And walking with him, he taught me things that I never knew before. And I'd follow him, and he'd be going down the pathway, and I'd be following him. And he stopped on the pathway. And when he stopped, I would stop. Why would I stop? I would stop because I would see him bending over and lifting that tree that had blew down across the path. Took that tree and laid it over to the side so I could keep on going. I would not stumble and I would not fall. And even when we come to a ditch in the road or in the pathway, he'd always make a bridge to go across there so I could go across that ditch and I wouldn't have to worry about stumbling. I would not have to worry about falling. I would not have to worry about skinning my knees. I would not have to worry about none of that. Why? Because he loved me. Because he'd done all of that for me. And when we grasp with that he's done all the things in the world. He's done everything in the Bible for us. For the individual. He even done it for the sinner right here. That's not in church today. That's out here just ramping and raging. And out here smoking crack. And all of that stuff. And drinking liquor and all of that. He done it for them too. But yet, they say, I got all the time in the world. Time's running out. Time is running out on the people. Time is running out on the Christians also. And what we must do. And what we must do, we got to do it now. We cannot do it later. Why?
Because there's going to come a storm our way. And when that storm comes, we're not going to be able to walk through this storm. We're not going to be able to go through it. They're not going to be able to know what has hit them as far as this storm is concerned. That's the reason that they need the Lord. That's the reason we need to tell them about the Lord. That's the reason I need to tell them about His love. And I don't need to tell them about His wrath, because they know all about His wrath. Because they're going through it now. But the only thing I need to reveal to them and to get them to understand it is how much did God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, how much they love them. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found them whom my soul loveth. I held them. I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chambers of that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughter of Israel, by the roe and by the hind of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The vine. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes, the spoil of the vine. You know, one that spoils the vine is the young converts that will not come to church and will not be willing to be taught how to pray. Nobody taught me about praying. At that time, my pastor, he asked me, he said, "Brother Donnie, how about dismissing us in prayer?" And I kind of looked at him. Me? I ain't been saved about a week or maybe 2 weeks. He said, "Yes, you." I had about 3, maybe 4 words to come out, and that was it. I sobbed because I couldn't do it. I was ashamed of myself because I could not pray. I sobbed. I cried. And I was saying to myself, "Lord, help me, please." Then I said, "Amen." And I was going to the back door of the church. The pastor back there was shaking people's hands. And all the other people was shaking hands and they was talking and everything. I had more people to come up to me and say, "Donnie, says, I thank you. Thank you. Because I know what you said. It wasn't but three or four words. But what there was, it come from your heart. And the pastor of the church be a little scarce at that time. He said, you keep it up, brother. First time anybody called me brother was him that day. He said, you keep that up, brother. And you keep on shedding the tears. You keep on sobbing. Because I know when you do that, and everybody else knows too, and God also knows, it's coming from your heart. And see, he don't look at your mind. He examines your heart. He looks on your heart. The little foxes that spoils the vine. The vines I hear have been spoiled. Why? Because we have too many. Today, Christians that are still little, like little foxes, they ain't grown up yet. They have not been nourished by the word of God. They were not here. They purchased their own Bible. I say this. If a church itself cannot furnish a new convert with a decent Bible that they can take home and they can read, and they can look at it, and they can study, and they can pray, it's something wrong with the church. See, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. We're here to see lost souls come to Jesus. We're here for one reason, and one reason only. That's to see lost souls saved by the grace of God. Thank you for listening. And now, Father, we do thank you for what you've done this morning. And Father, I have felt your presence. And my prayer is that the people here and also feel thy presence. But Father, help us not to be little Christians anymore, or little foxes, that where we'll go out here and we'll just visit people, and then we don't really know what to say to them. And sometimes we end up saying the wrong things. So we're spoiling the vine. To where the vine itself cannot grow. Where the Christian, new convert, cannot grow. Help us, Lord, that we can be there for them. And Father, go with us this afternoon. Give us this afternoon the rest that we need. And bring us back the next appointed hour. And Father, I pray, Lord, today, that you will be with Sister Nancy as she goes back in to work this evening. I know she's tired. And I know she's probably going to walk around maybe sometime this evening or tonight. And she'll be just walking and she'll fall asleep. But Lord, I pray that you'll help her along the way tonight. Give her what she needs. Save the lost.
bring the backsliders in, that they will come in and seek fellowship with you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.